Fight!
Welcome once again to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode number 97. Thank you for the energy. I love it.
You're welcome.
Nolan, will you talk that way the whole episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Dude. So glad to be here.
I would love that.
When we first started this podcast, Nolan was just, you know, just Nolan. He wasn't trying to do a podcasting voice or anything. And so he's just like, I'm Nolan.
That's my voice.
I know that's your voice. But over the year or two that we've done this, you have made a concerted effort to give it a little more pep. And it's appreciated.
I'm a tryhard.
I've been telling you that for so long now.
Speaking of try hard, Nolan, what would it take to get you back into Pokemon Go? How hard would Niantic have to try to get you into Pokemon Go?
I mean, harder than what they just did. I'm not into it. I'm really not. Like, I'm actually more interested in doing some competitive Pokemon, like the game.
He's gonna go Underground Champions League. He's doing some Puckle.
I was watching the VGC tournament or World Finals this weekend, and it looked pretty intense.
Hey, if you want to learn something, I know a guy.
Kenny, you still play a little bit, correct?
Yeah, when I hadn't played since last fall, and when I'd played a lot, like I went really hard when the game first came out. But when they released the whole rating thing, I've gotten back into it a little bit.
Have you heard the big news?
I have.
All right. Well, I'm going to read straight from Polygon. Niantic will bring legendary Pokemon Mewtwo to Pokemon Go players worldwide, introducing a Pokemon promised long before the game first launched. The Pokemon will be available as part of a limited-time exclusive raid battles, which trainers must receive an invitation to take part in. To get one of those invites, they must have successfully completed a raid recently by defeating the raid boss at the gym where the exclusive raid battle will be taking place. Most of that makes no sense to me, Kenny, but does that sound good?
Well, maybe. It depends. Here's what it sounds like. As hard as they've worked to get me back in the game, it sounds like if for some reason they've made this overly complicated and too out of reach for most people, and I don't get a shot at Mewtwo, I'm out.
It does sound pretty intense.
But from what I'm reading, it sounds reasonable from what I'm hearing from other fans.
It just depends like how many spawns there are and where they are, and yeah, it just depends how they do it.
It was gibberish to me. I lost interest quick. I really did. I was hyped for it because it was novel, and I was excited Nintendo's branching out to mobile. But I don't know.
It certainly wasn't really Nintendo. It's Nintendo's branding, but it's 100% a Niantic game.
I first played it on Android, and I felt like it was so lacking. Like, it was laggy. It might have been my phone, but it just wasn't smooth. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, for those that are Pokemon Go fans, and you're hearing this for the first time, Mewtwo is going to be arriving. Two words for you and two words only. Don't panic. Which is one of the many catchphrases in Douglas Adams' magnum opus, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, from whence our retro game of the week was born.
Overview.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a video game as well as a novel. If you haven't read it, this is a very, like Dustin said, this was Douglas Adams' masterpiece, a really huge following, and it's like, I'll just be upfront. I'm not a huge fan of the book, and I feel kind of bad about it because it's, you're supposed to if you like nerdy things, I think.
When did you read it?
I read it for the first time in college, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I was a freshman.
It does surprise me that you wouldn't. I remember you reading it. I remember you not liking it. Did you read it all the way through?
I did.
Not that you did.
Not the series.
Sure.
The standalone
book.
One.
Yes, I read it.
It's like Dune. Like, you can read the rest if you want, but you only really need to read the first one.
I mean, this
is going to be controversial.
Dune, yes. Trilogy, yeah. The series, absolutely not. Hitchhiker's Guide, absolutely. First three. Here's the thing. I read the entire trilogy, all six books of it. And Adams,
six, wow.
In my it was five, and then I think his son or somebody did after okay. him or whatever, entitled the final one ... and one more thing. Like the humor that Adams has in his distinct comedy that includes like odd throwaway jokes that become serious plot points, and how like he changes plot directions, or not necessarily plot directions, but just like mood and tone, and is constant in nothing else outside of his absurdity, is something that I genuinely like and thought that was made for an excellent book. Kenny, you read yep. and enjoyed?
I read, it was years ago. I don't know if I would enjoy as much today. I hope so. I hope that it's a good enough novel that it like holds up to the like adult me perspective, and like to, you know, and to 2017 as opposed to, I don't know, mid-90s or whenever I read it. But I read it as probably a like middle schooler or something, whenever that is the popular thing to do if you're have a predilection for those things, and loved it at the time.
I think you still would. Again, like, I should probably reread it just to try it again, because my first read, it didn't click for me. I got yeah. it. Like, I get it. It just kind of annoyed me.
I really enjoyed the humor of it. I don't know if I agreed as much with some of the things that he was trying to communicate sort of philosophically, but that's a whole different kind of thing. Yeah,
that's a whole different podcast and a whole different discussion.
Yeah, well, today we're going to be talking about the video game that was based on this book that we're talking about. Not as popular as the book, but still, it came out on a lot of platforms. It was released in 1984 for the Apple II, Macintosh, Commodore 64, CPM, whatever that is, MS-DOS, Amiga, Atari, and the Atari ST. So
they dropped it on everything that was available at the time.
Yeah, you could get this game if you were a gamer at the time.
And a popular enough series that probably a lot of people did.
I think so. I mean, we'll find out. But it came out in 1984, and it was developed by Infocom, which is this company that makes interactive fiction video games. Like, that's basically all they made. There's like a Sherlock Holmes in their catalog. They weren't super successful. Activision bought them and then ditched them.
I wonder why we haven't heard about them still.
The name sounds familiar to me, but looking at all the games that they put out, none of them were like very apparent to me, like, oh, that's a notable game.
Well, I think the majority of them were this kind of genre.
Yeah, it's just the genre died. Yeah. Yeah, they did something that was very niche in terms of when there was need and interest, and so,
which I don't know if we addressed, but like interactive fiction,
right?
Yeah, we're talking, this is text, a completely text-based game.
Like you basically are talking typing to the computer,
right?
Trying to progress through the story, and the game is loosely based on the plot of the book. So if you've read the book, you'll have a much, much, much easier time than someone who has no like information at all about the series.
And by loosely based, having read the book more recently, I would say very strongly based on the book. So much so that a lack of knowledge of the book would inhibit you from being successful in this game.
Yeah.
But if you know the story, then it will definitely help with the game if you can maneuver and figure out your way around the gameplay.
Gameplay.
So we mentioned it, but it's completely text-based. And there's a version you could have played with us this week that I'm pretty sure all three of us played. I definitely played a 30-year anniversary remake or just facelift to the game, which it's no longer just like a black and white DOS looking screen of text, which is what the original was. This is a, like, it gives you a visual representation kind of what's happening. And
yeah, not really. Even in those versions, it's still totally text-based. It just gives you kind of a really basic graphic to sort of let you know, I don't know, what area you're in, which chapter of the story you're in. Yeah, it doesn't really tell you anything beyond what you're getting out of the text.
But it does look much nicer than the old one, and I had much better time playing that one this week.
And it gives you some on-screen hotkeys that if you were to press, you don't have to type out, consult Hitchhiker's Guide about, because you just click on that, right, on the guide button, and then it types that in. And so there are some shortcuts that it provides you as well. It doesn't change the gameplay as much, but it does make it just a little bit easier, a little bit more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, for sure. And so you're typing out these commands that you want Mr. Dent to do, and it's like as simple as the game starts, it's pitch black, it's dark. And so I was like, okay, and I had to look it up, but there's like a little guidebook that kind of gives you some hints, and it was, have you tried turn on the lights? So I said that, and the lights came on, of course. So it's very like rudimentary as far as just like tell it what to do. I didn't get it at first. It's kind of foreign.
Oh, if you haven't played a game like this or something similar, where to even start is totally mind-bogglingly big. Because
yeah,
you just have a cursor. You just type something.
Well, and with this one, though, saying that you're in bed and it's dark, both of those are problems for advancing a story, right?
So, absolutely. Like,
you're going to try to counter the darkness somehow, and then you're going to try to... not just remain the rest of the time in bed, because yeah, that's not a video
game. I just wanted
game.
To sleep.
That's not a story.
I think this is a game where, by all means, you can get to a place where you would be stuck.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit ridiculous to be stuck at the first prompt.
I feel like Nolan is this. He's like, it's dark and I'm in bed. Sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep.
No, look, yeah. I actually...
Continue.
I'll just tell you my first... like interaction with the game. So I looked up that you have to turn on the lights, big whoop. So the lights come on and I was like, okay. And it lays out the room for you. You've got a toothbrush and a telephone and a robe. So I got out of bed and then I grabbed the toothbrush. Anyways, I ended up brushing my teeth eventually and then I got back in bed.
You get back in bed?
It lets you get
he
back
brushed
in bed.
His teeth and then got,
but you get bulldozed.
Sleep.
You die. You fall asleep and die.
Yeah. Okay, so let's set this up. We usually do this in the overview, but just because the gameplay is so limited, I think it was good to reserve kind of a little bit of the story until we get here, because you're playing the story.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You are... Like, in starting this game, there's no pre-story. It's like you are beginning the story, and is kind of just how it sets up, is you are Arthur Dent, the main character, just a normal human man. And... you're awkward and plainly boring. If you've seen the BBC show or the movie or read the book, you know that there's nothing unique about Arthur. And he really just very quickly gets sucked up into a series of unfortunate events across the galaxy and throughout the books, across many millions of years, all while in a bathrobe. That's a reoccurring gag. Because at the beginning of this game, after you get out of bed, if you don't get back in bed, a few things in the room outside of that toothbrush is your gown. And so if you put that on, that's one of the earliest things you need to do. And then you use that gown and you're reminded that you're in that gown throughout the rest of the game. That's really how it sets up. You wake up and you can look out the window and realize that there's a bulldozer coming straight for your house.
Right. So... what I was a little impressed by, actually, was I was kind of testing out, like, okay, what does the AI recognize when I put in, you know, like, take pill or whatever? And it was like, I don't understand the word, whatever, in quotes. So, like, it kind of tells you, like, okay, I like these phrases, I like these words, but I don't like these. It's actually kind of a smart AI.
For as old as the game was, and yeah, as much as these games get really, really big when you think about the number of commands somebody might put in and the number of, you know, branching if-then statements that are going to make up the coding behind it, I agree. I was generally impressed with how robust it was in terms of responding to things and responding to things somewhat intelligently, even in places where the story, you know, wasn't moving along, where you weren't doing things correctly.
And what it tries to do is often, not all the time, unfortunately, but often it tries to give you a clue in an easy description that you might receive. So if you look at the room Nolan mentioned, for example, you'll see some things that are going on. And the idea is then you'll interact with those in some kind of fashion. Once you're up and the lights are on in your room, if you look out the window, because it has said that there is a window there, you'll see the bulldozer coming towards your house. I mean, yes, you can get back in bed, but then you know that bulldozer is coming to your house. So you know at some point you're going to need to go outside the house to stop that bulldozer. And so how you literally do that, if we haven't explained that clearly enough, is you type the word go north or just south or go out. You can, for this, I think, type go outside.
That's what but, I, go outside yeah. worked.
But as you do that, so like go outside, you'll go outside, it will describe it in a few sentences. One of those will be like, and there's a pile of junk mail on your porch. Well, if you'd like to, you can pick up junk mail. You type that. You'll pick up the junk mail. It'll say something. And then you can say, read junk mail. And in that junk mail, it will tell you why the bulldozer's there and what's happening right now. So you can find out through that way. I don't know if you've done some of these, but you can find out also by picking up your phone and calling the police. You can find it by a few other things, by talking to Mr. Prosser, who's outside standing near the bulldozer. You can find out what the bulldozer is doing in a few different ways. And then you've got to try to figure out how to stop it. And a lot of it's unintuitive unless you've read the book or know the story. But through enough trial and error, for most of these, 60, 70%, you're going to be able to find it eventually with enough tries.
Yeah. Absolutely. You might die in the process, but...
You're going to die a lot.
A whole lot.
You can save,
lots
actually.
Of dying in this game.
You can save.
You can save. Yeah, Nolan said even in the earliest version, you can save and then restore to an earlier save state. So you try to want to do that after you've been successful because you don't want to have to go through all of those inputs again.
Which was revolutionary, the first version of this game. Again, it's been released on a lot of different things. So the first one I found and played this week, the save state feature was like bugged. It wasn't working correctly. And so I would go through a bunch of stuff, die. I would start over. And I would go through that whole sequence again and then try something different.
Yeah.
Die, go through the things I knew worked again. And it was significantly slower than if I'd had that feature working correctly, but then remedied that eventually.
But you probably got really good at typing, get up, turn on light, put on gown, you know, like go outside.
No, I was Nolan style lazy.
I feel like you just went outside naked is what you did. You didn't even stop to put on the gown.
I tried that once.
What makes this game especially spicy is that there is an internal counter in which certain events will take place after 10 turns or after 15 turns or after 20. And near the beginning, it introduces this to you because you have a relatively short time to figure something out before you die, before right. the tractor comes and destroys your house. And so you have to, and it gives you some grace, especially near at the beginning. You can do a whole slew of things before you die. But there are counters at various points in the game, which ups the difficulty, but also ups, like, you know, what you're trying to do and ups your brain working power. You're not just willy-nilly trying to type in things. You're really trying to process through yeah. before you make a decision.
That's a good mechanic to have in a game like this, so it's not dull. Like, it's just strictly trial and error. There's at least some sort of, like, mechanic of or some threat there. And it also does keep track of a score, and my first one was 10 out of a possible 400 in 18 turns. So it's a little, that's pretty good. I don't know.
I mean, you did one thing and you got 10 points is what it amounts to.
I got back in bed and died.
And once again, with the original version, you find out that score at the end. With the 20th or 30th anniversary editions, a little noise plays and your counter goes up. So it shows you that you're doing something right, at least in the process.
Did you guys have a hard time figuring out what commands to use?
Like the verbs that the computer likes?
Yeah.
Some. I think I took to it pretty quickly. I was expecting it to go terribly, but it didn't take me too long to realize, okay, you don't like this word, because I kept trying, like, grab, or no.
Yeah, like I tried grab, pick up, and pick they up like take.
You know? Yeah, yeah, or yeah. use, or certain things right. that it doesn't.
Once I learned it, though, like, I don't know. I just committed
same
it to
here.
Memory.
Yeah. Same here. It was pretty. I mean, there's a few that you'll use regularly. Look, take, you know, that kind of thing.
Sleep.
And I felt like for me, it was a fairly quick learning. And then it's just utilizing those main ones for the most part.
Yeah.
Kenny?
Oh, at first I was hoping it was a lot more robust than it was and was literally trying everything. And yeah, you learn pretty quickly that there's limitations to what it can do.
Yeah,
especially the way that you like talk to other characters. I didn't really pick up. That's something I had to like look up, and I felt like the game really needed. If there had been like a help feature where it was like before you were in bed, it was like a hey, here's a couple of basic commands that you might need, or where it saw you failing at something repeatedly, but that was close to a way that you ought to do it, that it could have given you some guidance. I felt like without third-party resources, whether that's reading the novel or looking up certain ways of doing the interaction, this game became very, very, very difficult. And was difficult enough even if you did have some of those things.
So here's one of the things that I really did enjoy, and I only got to one or two of them, but there I think that it's a reoccurring theme in this game, are certain puzzles that are unintuitive, but once you start getting the humor of the game and the absurdity of it, you think of some of these things. So my brother was actually in town visiting me this week, and so we sat down together and played, and it was fun to have both of our brains working in slightly different ways to try to figure out these solutions. Well, you come across this puzzle. We are in a ship as captives, and we are pressing the button on this machine, and something that we needed flew out of the machine and would fly across the room and enter into a hole on the other side of the room. And so we're like, okay, well, we've got to stop the hole. You can't place like get in front of machine. You can't, yeah. You know, you've got to put something on that hole. So after a few trial and error things, we took off our gown and there was a hook over the hole and hung our gown there. So we're just standing in our underwear. We press the button, the thing flies out, hits our gown, goes down the sleeve of the gown, and then falls in the grate at the bottom. And so then we had to figure out what we put there. So we put our towel there because we had a towel from earlier.
Don't panic.
And then it flew across, hit the gown, fell down and hit the towel, didn't fall in the grate. But then a cleaning robot came out of the wall on the other side of the room, grabs it and goes in another wall. So we had to stop it over there. And then at one point, so we had finally gone through all these series of events, and it was a series of event where now that device is flying in the air. And so we're like, we have to throw something else in the air to distract this cleaning robot from getting it out of the air. So we threw our junk mail from early in the game into the air, and it caught that and picked up that, and we finally got the device. It was fun to work through that, but also insane because if you don't grab some of the things early on, like I think you need that screwdriver that's in your room at the beginning.
Really?
And if you don't get that, you can go through, progress through a lot of the game, but if you don't have it at a certain point, you're going to be screwed.
Oh, that's lame. That shouldn't be the case.
Start over.
Aged.
So one of the nice things about a game that is just designed to be text-based is that to some degree it's going to hold up for offering what it offered initially, no matter what. It's not like some games where because they're graphic, you know, it's a graphic interface and that technology has progressed, that there's going to be sort of stumbling blocks there. Either you can interact with the story and enjoy the process of it and sort of dig the style of game, or you can't. And so to some degree, it sort of makes it a little bit like we talked about with puzzle games and Dr. Mario recently. This is a game that the nature of itself, I think, makes it stay accessible more than some other kinds of games.
I understand some because you don't have like a degrading of graphics or music.
Not really sound or any of those kind of things.
You're really working with story and gameplay for the most part here. Not even characters, you know?
Right.
With that, it comes down to like genre of game. That's right. Kind of what aged the most.
Yeah, exactly.
That these text games and these interactive fiction video games just don't exist anymore, at least not in this kind of format.
And that is the flip side, is that because it's not something that's seen, somebody who, and I mentioned this earlier, but somebody who'd never played any kind of game even similar to this ever, I think would have a really, really hard time with this game. It's one that once you learn the approach, if you're into that story and into that puzzle and those kind of things, might have some appeal. But for some people, it may be a pretty large, simple pill to swallow.
You know, I'm trying to think of like modern games that would even be close to fitting the bill for this genre. Do you guys think Papers, Please could be considered partially text-based? Dustin played it the most, I think. So I don't have a lot of experience with it.
I mean, it's not text-based, but it's that simplistic, do a small series of things. I don't know if that would be what I would compare it to, or maybe these other adventure, like, click story
games,
like Telltale
games. Yeah, I think the point-and-clicks. I think the Scooby-Doo title that we played that was point and click. Well, yeah. is the closest like equivalent thing. I think that's what grew out of these early games. Is, you know, take this item, do this weird thing with it, and they put a graphical face on it, but it still made you do some things that felt foreign. To me, that's the closest that we've played.
I don't think the genre is dead. I really don't. No one's doing it because there's other things to do that sell games better and maybe more entertaining. I really want to see like a modern text-based game that, will have a graphical interface to it because clearly we have graphics now.
I'm surprised people haven't actually done a text, modern day meaning, not old meaning, based game in a similar vein. Like where you literally are using your phone to like text in questions or answers to to a server somewhere else that's walking you through a game on your phone. Because I could see it entertaining people.
Maybe we should start something like that. I really think that something could be successful in that vein where you don't even have to download anything.
Right.
No, and I agree with you, Kenny. Like the game is what it's meant to be, and it still is. You know, like if you played it back then, you play it today, it's going to be the exact same thing. The bigger issue I have, I think, with this one specifically, is that it's just a book, and I don't know. I just think the book aged better.
No, I think that's a fair argument.
I don't really know how to defend my thought there, but like it just seems like a big distraction from a better story out there.
Especially with it being so kind of tied together. If this was sort of an additional story in that universe, if you were getting, you know, pre-story or side story or a different character's perspective or something, I think it might have added some more sort of artistic value. This was just sort of another way of experiencing the same thing, and I'm with you. The book sort of seems sufficient to me.
I would say if you do play one of these games, if you do play this game, the remakes, the 20th or even the 30th anniversary edition is where you should go to first. It doesn't change the gameplay. Like you're still playing the exact same game. It just looks a little bit better. And for a modern gamer, it's a lot easier to take in.
I'd agree. And I'd also suggest that someone find a spoiler-free guide that gives them some guidance on navigating the menu and on commands to use, because there's just some frustration if you're trying to learn those things on your own and to a point that you may not be able to progress until you stumble upon some command that you haven't known, and that's a lot of trial and error without some kind of extra guide. And so if that stuff had been included in a more accessible way in the game itself, I feel like I would have been more comfortable generally recommending it as something people ought to jump into.
It also sounds, listening to Dustin, it sounds like it's better to play with someone else.
My brain, I don't know about yours, but I'm so one track. And so I can get stuck trying to solve a problem one way. But when someone else who thinks differently than I has some additional input, his might be right, or it might clue me into thinking, oh, what if we did this? So it is kind of fun. Like even with spouse, like this is a game that you could sit down just, in bed or on the couch with next to your spouse who might not even be a gamer, but it's more of a puzzle, more of like a use your mind to it's try like to work through game. Things. Which would be great if it was intuitive, but often in this game I found that it wasn't.
Yeah,
I'd agree. I think puzzle type things in general work well in that social setting. We just recently got through doing our Elements of Portal episode, and you guys ought to take a listen to that if you haven't. It was a really fun episode. But I found some of that same sort of social vibe in playing that game with lots of other people, actually, throughout this week. I kind of was on a whole kick, and so it introduced a number of people who'd never played it to that game. And watching different people's approach to a puzzle versus your own, and just talking about it and discussing it and seeing how people think and the whole thing, that's part of the fun to me of a puzzle game. And I think this would fall into that. Like, I'd certainly say if you're going to do it, you could have fun including somebody else.
The final shell shock.
So guys, here at the end of the podcast, we determine whether or not we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Do you suggest that viewers go out and find a copy of this game, which is very easy to do, and play it, or to reserve their game time for another retro game? Nolan?
I don't think it's really worth playing simply because there's a book, and I think you would enjoy the story more if you didn't have the frustration of dying on accident or not knowing what to type in or just getting frustrated in general. And then maybe after you read it and you like the book, play it, but still don't, because even with the new interface, it's still not fun, and Infocom is bad, and they are out of business now because they're bad, and it's a stay in bed out of 10.
That got progressively more bad. Like, it kind of started with, like, you know, this is all right, until, like, this is the worst.
I like how his final verdict was stay in bed. Like, his verdict for the game was play this game like I did, which is just get back in the bed that you start in and never get out.
Well, right. Okay, I don't know enough about Infocom to say that, but I mean it, every word of it.
But I'm sticking to my guns.
You don't have to play the game, and I won't argue with you, Nolan, but I would like for us to read the book again and you to try it again.
That's fair, I will. I promise I'll read that.
Yeah, we're in a book club. Kenny.
So I think there are some people that would enjoy this game. But I think it's a pretty narrow audience. I think if you really enjoy this type of humor and you enjoy sort of that story interaction vibe, if you were a choose-your-own-adventure kind of reader as a kid who happens to like Douglas Adams and is familiar enough with this genre that it doesn't scare you, that you're going to just be sitting down and looking at text and doing some trial and error, then you get a kick out of it. It'll make you grin. But I think, you know, that's one of those, like, there are dozens of people that will enjoy it, and we're hoping to generally give recommendations in a lot more broad sort of sense than that. And so for most people, I don't think this is a game they'll enjoy. And so I'm with Nolan. Read the book if you haven't. You may like it, you may not, but it's notable enough to be familiar. But maybe pass on playing the game unless it's specifically up your alley. So no new game plus for me.
I had a blast playing for the majority of this week, and part of it was truly that my brother was in town, and playing a game together is fun. But we had a guide up for reference, that guide that was shared in our Discord, where you're able to slowly get some hints about questions you might have revealed to you. And we tried our best not to use that until we had tried everything else we could think of, and then we were just stuck logically. It felt really rewarding when something in this game finally worked and you had done the series of inputs correctly so that you could accomplish some task.
And that's huge in a game. Being able to give that sense of reward and accomplishment, especially in a puzzle game, when you've got that, like, man, I nailed it moment, like, that's big. You got to be able to deliver that.
Yeah. And when you do it in this game, especially because it is not intuitive and because it is difficult, it feels all the more better. My knowledge of the story did help somewhat, so I knew how to stop the tractor when that's not intuitive. I knew what to use to get off Earth when that might not be as clear. But after putting in multiple hours and realizing that we weren't far in this game at all, that there's still a lot more to go and a lot more to do, it just put a damper on things and kind of just caused us to want to quit. Like, we got it by then. Like, we knew this is what you do in this game and that there's some fun elements and there's some rewarding feelings, but they're somewhat few and far in between. So it's fun. It was creative. I love the humor, and I think that it's on display brilliantly here, even in the game.
The writing's great.
Yeah.
As an adaptation and for video game, a lot of these written things are kind of awkward and don't provide anything.
Well, Douglas Adams helped design it.
Yeah, I think the writing itself in this game is absolutely top-notch.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I'm going to agree with these guys. It's not something the majority of people would play, especially if you are unfamiliar with the story. So I would just say skip the game, read the book. No new game plus for me. That's three no's. So The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the video game, interactive video game, does not get new game plus status.
Next.
But that's all right, because there's always new games for us to plus.
Wow.
That was something like that. But first, we'll read from our loyal viewers. Just wrote in and said, okay, I figured it out. This is the kind of game I want to like because I want people to think I'm smart or eclectic. But ultimately, I don't really like D&D or choose your own adventure books. So it makes sense that I don't actually like this game in practice either. I thought it was going to be easy. My husband played it as a kid and loved it. I thought I had a ringer, but instead I kept getting a brick in the head. Couldn't get past the bulldozer even with the pro by my side at the keyboard. I just can't give it NGP. This isn't actually fun. Sorry. So yeah. That kind of aligns a lot with you, Nolan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Jess. We also received an email, I think for the first time, from Shepard. Shepard said, after several deaths and about an hour of playing, I finally managed to exit my own house without running into a wall.
Yay.
Shortly after that, I died from a dislodged brick. The bulldozer happened to kick up. That's a reoccurring theme here. This is my initial experience with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I tried playing the game blind and found quickly that without using the walkthroughs or recent knowledge of the book, I would be struggling to make any progress in this game. This game is very linear and any meaningful progression and is not forgiving when you are unsure what to do next. However, one positive thing I will say, the text-based adventure genre is the perfect fit for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy story. The quirkiness of both create a seemingly perfect marriage. However, despite the blend of silly and unique game style, I cannot in good faith recommend this game for New Game Plus status.
You know what it is? Thanks for writing in, Shepard. It's for hardcore super fans of Hitchhiker's Guide. And they exist because they have Talladega and everything. So like that's who this game is for.
Yes, it is. Because even more so, like, this game was released with feelies, which were, like, bonus novelty items, including, like, a pin that says don't panic, and I think even a towel, and some different, like, an order for destruction of Arthur Dent's house. Like, different things like that that would make a true fan geek
absolutely
out.
Really that's love it. For. Yeah.
That's key.
It's totally there. And what Shepard said about, like... He totally hit the nail on the head in his description of like who would actually enjoy this game.
Most games today, they want to not just satisfy the audience of that already like Jurassic Park or that already like whatever game we're talking about. They want to broaden their audience. And so they make their game, they create their game in a way that can bring in outsiders. This was not that way. And it was specifically a fan service. And potentially a really good one. Yeah.
Thanks for flicking that switch in our minds.
Yeah, thank you.
Shepard.
Thank you for sending in your emails to ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to include your commentary and thoughts as a part of our episode each and every week. Feel free to play the game along with us and send in your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com. But for now, we're going to put The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy aside, and we are going to randomly select our new retro game of the week, which is... a platform game developed by Aspect and published by Sega. It came out for the Master System in 1993, and just a month later, the Game Gear. We are going to be playing Sonic Chaos. This is our second Sonic game, is it not?
I'm extremely happy because Sonic Mania just came out, and this is well timed.
That's there are awesome. Some big things going on in the Sonic world right now.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll have a lot to discuss pre and post show next week.
Yeah, I think I had this for the Game Gear. If it came out on Game Gear later, I did have like the main Sonic title for Game Gear, and it was amazing.
So I did ask, and both of you guys ignored me, but this is the second Sonic game that we've played, correct, as a part of this podcast?
I didn't know that was a question. Yeah, that we have played one Sonic game, Sonic 1, and this will be our second one.
Okay, how does this fall in line with everything? I'm unfamiliar with most of the Sonic verse.
I don't know if I haven't played the Mega Drive version of this game, but like I said, if it's gonna feel like Sonic 1 pretty much, I think, with different levels.
It was kind of their bread and butter, and they followed that sort of classic formula of what was working for quite a while.
And then like when they branched off, everything fell off, so now they're back with Sonic Mania. They're back to their roots, and it's all the fans wanted.
All right. Well, we'll have a lot to discuss next week as we play Sonic Chaos.
We have a Discord, and we would love for you to join us in there. Find the invite link to that on our Twitter. Follow us while you're there. And yeah, come hang out with all of the NGP family. We discuss life. We discuss the game of the week. So if you're a huge Sonic fan, this is a perfect opportunity to jump in. If you just want to talk about other stuff or just hang out with everyone, stop by. We'd love to connect with you.
Among that family, we got some amazing people who help make what we do a reality. Our patrons who support us beyond just listening with their ears to giving with their wallets, however great or small, and their hearts. Their hearts first and their wallets second. Really do help us to continue to improve the quality of what we do. So thank you to all of our patrons, especially to our producer level supporters, Zion, Gimbarino, Bradley. You guys are the bee's knees, as they say.
We do have two new patrons this week. One new and one who upgraded or who advanced to the next level.
Upgrade.
Shepherd, who wrote in to this show and gave his input on Hitchhiker's Guide, is our brand new patron. And so we are so glad that you are now a part of the family. And then our friend Ben upped his pledge and will now, I think, be able to have input into our next Patreon pool when that comes up.
Nice.
Yes, that's exciting.
That's always a fun privilege for those guys to have.
Thank you so much, guys. We really, really appreciate that. You did not have to do that, but you did, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Make sure to find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. As Kenny mentioned, patreon.com/NGP Podcast for some additional content on the weekly. And if you are listening to this audio podcast, you can find a roughly unedited video cast of this same episode with a little bit more content that we didn't cut out. That's going to be up on YouTube later in the week. So find us on YouTube and you can see our moderate faces there.
Yeah, they're moderate? Pretty moderate. Yeah, they're all right.
I mean, they're like... average.
Rank so. Us from best looking to worst looking.
Yeah, so when you see that video, please let us know who's ugliest, all the way up to who's most attractive. We've been having that discussion for a few years now. We can't seem to come to a conclusion.
No.
Join us next week as we play Sonic Chaos. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still the beardliest.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.